We turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, and it is a prayer of David. Verse 1, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. Amen. I want to focus on certain elements in this psalm with regard to prayer. You see in the title of the psalm that it is a prayer of David. Now, prayer is something essential to the Christian life. God commands us to pray. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, right? And it is a command. It's in the imperative tense. And we see in the Bible that God also used people of prayer. You know, that famous verse in James 5:16, right? Which tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So this evening, we want to take a look at elements of effective prayer from this psalm. Now, firstly, we see that David was someone who was very confident. The way he prayed in the psalm, he prayed with boldness. So the first element that we need to have when we come to God in prayer is confidence. Now, the confidence that David had might look like arrogance if it were not for the gospel. It may look like presumptuousness. But David, being a believer, being a child of God, comes to God with boldness because of his trust in God, what God has done for him. And it's the same for us. Because of Christ, we can all go boldly to him, right? That's what Christ said. You know, if you are a child of God, you call upon God as Abba, Father. A child does not need great distress and great anxiety before he goes to his father. It's something natural. We go out of boldness. And that's what Hebrews 4:16 tells us, that we can go to the throne of grace boldly. Right? So David is not afraid to bring his petitions. Now, the way Spurgeon describes this is interesting. The way David goes to God, he describes it is like the repeated blow of a hammer, hitting the same nail on the head to fix it more effectually. Right? There was this persistence. Right? David kept going to God. David was bold in bringing his petitions, such as a hammer. Right? You know, when you knock a nail, hammer or nail, right? You're obviously going to put some force into it, right? No one hits a nail, you know, with the effort of a schoolgirl, right? You know, you hammer a nail, you do it forcefully, right? And why was David so confident? Why did he approach God so boldly? And there are two reasons for that, right? Two reasons. The first reason is David was confident and he came boldly to God because the matter that he was bringing to God, it was a just cause, right? Now verse 1 says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry." The word right there is literally means just. Hear my just cry, my just cause. So David here was someone who was concerned about God's will. Whatever he prayed, it would be just, it would be righteous, it would be according to God's will. And that's what we see in 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have, right? If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So David was confident because the thing that he was bringing to God was not something frivolous, not something unjust, but it was something good and right and within the will of God. That's why he could ask it so confidently. Now, secondly, he was also confident because God was his friend. We just discussed earlier on that God is our Father, right? A child doesn't need anything special to go to his father. He has direct access. But here we learn in verse 7 the kind of relationship David had with his God. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee. So here we see David trusting God. There was a friendship. The friendship was purchased by Christ through faith in him. And we see how close God and David were. What does verse 8 say? How close were they? You have that expression, right? Keep me as the apple of the eye. Now what is the apple of the eye? You know, have you ever been so close to a person that you've peered into their eye and you've seen their reflection? That's the apple of the eye, right? Your reflection in that person's eye. So in order for you to see your reflection, you have to have pretty close proximity. And unless you weren't a friend, right, you'd probably be pushed away, right? So, you know, a person needs to be very close to you to allow you to come physically close to him. So these expressions speak about David's closeness with God. So the first element is confidence because of a just cause, because of friendship. Now the second element in prayer that all of us ought to possess is blamelessness. David was confident that God would hear his just cause because it was prayed not by feigned lips. Right, you see that in verse 1 at the end? It was not prayed by feigned lips. Feigned lips basically means deceitful lips. David was blameless. He was not living in sin. Right? So to get God's ear in prayer, not only must we pray confidently, but pray submissively, blamelessly. What does the Bible say? If we regard iniquity in our hearts, what happens? God will not hear us. Right? So we have to be blameless and repent of our sins. We learn, right, from that passage we read just now in James 5, that it is the effectual, fervent prayer of what kind of man? Of a righteous man, right? That avails much. So in verse 3, David shows how blameless he is. He says, and if you were to read this, you might think that it's sheer arrogance, but what does David say in verse 3? Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, which of us can say this, right? But David here could. You know, and there are times when if we're walking righteously and we're walking blamelessly, we can say this as well. Right? But often, what are we like? We are like Jacob. Right? We pray. And after praying, what do? Not this Jacob, but the schemer Jacob. Right? What did Jacob do? He went around and schemed. Right? He was not righteous. Right? Sometimes we are those, when we encounter problems, we pray to God, then we go and gossip to someone else, right? Well, that's not what it should be. We're to be blameless. And while Christ has made us righteous, right, He has justified us, we should endeavor to walk holy as well. Now the third element of prayer we learn from this psalm is earnest supplication and reliance. In verse 7, David pleads, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them." And verse 13 says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." Now in these two verses, David asks God to save, right? And in verse 13, that's what deliver means. He was in trouble. There was earnest supplication. There was reliance on God. And we see the word in verse 13, arise, right? David was asking God to arise, to take action. This is kind of, I wouldn't say it's a military term, but it's kind of a term related to God's patience and related to His judgment. We all have this idea that God is sitting on His throne, and He's very patient, and He's showing mercy, and He's watching all the sons of men. But there will be a time when He arises to take action and judges, right? So that's the sense that we get from David, that he wants God to arise to help him. And this shows desperation, right? It was an earnest supplication. And that's what we see from James 5. It's not just the effectual prayer, but what kind of prayer? It has to be a fervent prayer. How do we pray, right? Sometimes we pray very sedately. Right? Nothing wrong with being calm in prayer, right? But a sedate prayer is not always right. It has to be fervent. Now, I'm not suggesting that we cry and cut ourselves like the Baal prophets, but it has to be a fervent in spirit, right? And the basis for this earnestness, this desperation, was because there are real enemies of God and of God's people. Verses 10 to 12 describe these enemies, the problems that David was facing. It says, "They are enclosed in their own fat." Does it refer to a cooking method? Okay. Right? It means, fat is a symbolism for wealth, riches, blessings. So they're confident. They bolster themselves with they think that they're impenetrable, right? So that phrase there refers to pride, okay? With their mouth, they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. So we see here that there are real troubles in our lives, real enemies. And in the case of David, they were men. They were actual people that were after him. You know, he could have written this when he was running away from Saul, possibly, okay? But what are the problems that we face. Right? Now, take a look at the words, especially in verse 12. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. What does this remind you of? Who's like a lion lurking in secret places? The devil, right? Alright? And that's what 1 Peter 5:8 tells us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. And why should our prayers be earnest, desperate, not sedate? Because there's trouble, there's sin, there's temptation. Finally, we see the fourth element of prayer. Verse 15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, we see here that after all that David prays, there's a godly expectation. Right? He believes that after all of this, he will be satisfied, right, with God's likeness. So we see here, in that one sense, prayer is the means to conform us into the image of God. Right? If our praying doesn't make us more like God, then our praying, you could say, is in vain. God's goal is that we be conformed to Christ's image. And that's what Romans 8:29 says, that it's God's will, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? And God uses the prayers of His saints to accomplish that. So four elements of prayer that we learn from this psalm. Confidence, blamelessness, earnestness, and a hopeful or godly expectation. And to be effective, our prayers really need, I believe, these elements. You know, we are a prayer group. We've come here to pray. And, I mean, some things which are practical in that when we look at the prayer list, once a week we pray for these things. And sometimes these things don't exactly touch us. Why? Because we may not be praying for it every day, you know, but if we are praying with greater expectation for the folks here, for the ministries, when we come together to pray, we're excited, you know, to hear what God has done through our prayers. So confidence, blamelessness, earnestness, as well as a hopeful expectation. Let's pray. Eternal gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this psalm, how it teaches us how to come to you in prayer. Father, for all the things that we are to pray for this evening, we pray that you would help us to come with boldness, knowing that, Lord, it is in your will that we pray for these things. We can also come boldly because you, as our God and our friend, you hear us. Lord, we also pray that you help us to be earnest and fervent in our prayers, knowing the great need that the church has. Father, we also pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that nothing may hinder our prayers. For you have said, when I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear us. And Father, we pray that as we come together as a group to supplicate for the church, that you would transform us and align us more to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you would teach us how to pray. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.
Shall we pray? Psalm, the first six.